You're listening to the Vaddy McKechnie podcast, episode number 141. Hey there, welcome to the Vaddy McKechnie podcast. This weekly show offers a fresh take on that elusive work-life balance that we really struggle to find. So you can finally stop feeling like you're failing at both. I'm going to be sharing the concepts and strategies that I've taught hundreds of ambitious but busy women over the years as a coach and a mentor. It's time to rid our lives of the chaos and the stress and instead replace it with more calm and more fun. It's time to take your life from good to great. Let's start today. Hi folks, it's Vaddy here and welcome back to the podcast. It's been a couple of weeks since I posted on here and what I wanted to do with this episode was give you a little bit of a catch up of all the things that's been happening in my world, the reason for there being a break in our podcasts, and also just what's been happening for me both with regards to work and also in my personal life as well. Really, this year has been a year of two halves, the way that I kind of look at it from this point being, you know, early October. When I look back to the early part of 2022, it really feels like that was a time of being in a really kind of gathering stage, a gathering energy. For those of you who kind of work with different seasonal personalities, it felt very much like a winter phase of kind of going inward and being much more reflective and there not being a lot of external energy. And I have to say, for me, that's not a particularly comfortable place for me to be. I'm someone who does like to be moving and have a sense of momentum and be active. And I can really struggle in those times to stop and to reflect and to ponder and to listen to what needs to shift and what needs to change. But I really allowed myself to be in that phase for the early part of this year. It was almost as if there were this switch that just flipped halfway through the year. And I often find that at that mid-year point. My birthday is in July, so I've always had that sense of there being a kind of like halfway check-in and a bit of a recalibration for the second half of the year. And I really love that with my birthday being in the middle of the year. It really is this opportunity to just press pause and see what I want to focus on for the second half of the year. But I felt my energy shift in such a profound way at that mid-year point. Right around the weekend of my birthday, I went to see Marianne Williamson speak here in Melbourne, and I have been a fan of her work and her writing and her speaking for years now, and it was such a great opportunity to go along with a dear friend of mine and listen to this really powerful woman speak on stage. And she said this one thing, well, actually, she said a lot of things that were really profound and hit me in a really deep and meaningful way. But one of the things that she said towards the end of the evening was, the time for data collection is over and it's time to move. And that one sentence really just wrapped up how I was feeling. That first half of the year had been about collecting some more information and really just observing what was in my life, what I wanted to let go of, what I wanted to focus more time and attention on. And really hearing her say those words, it was like this call to arms. It really activated me and made me want to get out there in the world and actually start being more active in an external way after having had this season of reflection. What this has meant for me on a personal level is it really sparked me to start to think about where I want to live next, the type of place I want to call my home next. The home that the boys and I have lived in, we've been in for over 3 years now, and it's been the perfect home for us for this previous season that we're now emerging from. It was a house that we moved into probably 8 or 9 months before all of the lockdowns started. And it really was the perfect place for us to be during those times when we were working from home, doing school from home, doing exercise from home, all the things from home. It really was the perfect place for us to have a space for us to come together collectively, each have spaces to go off on our own and have some space. And there was also the pool and the outdoor space. And so we really felt like we had a sense of expansion in a time that was really quite contracting on so many fronts. So this home definitely was the right place for that season of our lives. But I was starting to feel this little nudge towards something different. And it's really interesting because often we wait until we are really tired and over and frustrated with the thing we have before we make a different choice. And that's certainly not the case when it comes to this consideration of moving to a different place, to a different house. We do truly love the house we're in, but it's time for something different. And I think that's the key. It's allowing ourselves to move and to grow and to evolve from where we are now to something new and different solely because we want something new and different. Oftentimes we can feel this urge and this need and this requirement to break down the thing we have in order to feel justified to move. This is true in jobs, it's true with homes, it's true within relationships. We feel we have to make it terrible to justify the reason why we want something different, why we want to move on from that job, from that relationship, from that home. But we don't have to do that. It can just simply be a choice. And we make far better choices when we are leaving somewhere or someone from a place of appreciation, a place of gratitude, a place of being in love with that situation, but just purely wanting something different. So that's really the energy that has sparked this desire to want to move and find ourselves a new home. What is really exciting me about this prospect of a new home is to really use my guiding light of simplification and ease as the thing that will help us find our next perfect home. So what that means on a really practical level is I want somewhere that feels more intimate than the home we're in at the moment. The reality is that 50% of the time I live at home by myself with Stella, my dog. And the other half of the time I have these two truly magnificent housemates that live with me. The boys are older now. They're not little kids. They don't come with a whole lot of kids' paraphernalia. You know, there's not a lot of toys and things and, you know, pushchairs and cots and all of this stuff that little kids come with. Really, it's just a basketball, a football, a phone, and a surfboard. So moving into this phase now that the boys are 10 and 13, what I'm looking for in a home for my family is different to what it was just a few years ago. So I still feel that urge to want to be close to the water. I still want to stay in the same area that I'm in at the moment. It's really important to me that the boys are really close to both of their parents so we can have as easeful a co-parenting relationship as possible and not to put extra pressure on the boys. You know, if they leave their soccer strip at one house, it's not a massive drama to be able to go pick up. And this is something that feels really true and really important to me in this phase of my life. As someone who likes to kind of dive into the future and imagine what my life is going to look like 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, it can be really helpful for me to see, you know, what do I want my life to look like 10 years from now? And the reality is 10 years from now, I will be a mother to a 21-year-old and a 23-year-old. 10 years is not a lot of time when we think of it over the expanse of a lifetime. And so for me, moving into this phase, it feels like having somewhere that is smaller, that's more intimate, that's closer to all the things that are important to us as a family at the moment. The office that I work out of, the gym that I go to, where my youngest kid plays soccer, the shops and cafes and place that we can go for dinner, and transport links as the boys get older so they can hop on the bus and go to friends' houses or head up to the city. Being in a place that all of those things are really accessible is what feels right for us in this next season of life. Now, that's not to say in 10 years' time that we will still be in this house that we are going to move to in the short term, but it's choosing that next right step. So often I see it with clients that they hold back from taking what feels like the next right step for them in the short term because they feel overwhelmed or confused about what that's going to look like in the longer term. Just last week, I had a client speaking about wanting to buy their forever home. And we actually spent the whole session kind of unpacking what that meant, why they felt like they had to find their forever home. As humans, we often want to get all the boxes ticked and do all the things. But then what's left to want at the other side of that? If we moved into our forever home next month, what would that mean for the rest of our lives with regards to where we were going to live? It can feel like security, but what it often leads to is contraction. It leads to this feeling of being hemmed in and not having the ability to change our mind and to live multiple lifetimes within the one life. So the way that I'm looking at this house move is this is going to be our perfect next right move. And that might be for 2 years or for 5 years, or it may be a home that we own for the longer term. And I'm not getting caught up on the details of that at the moment. I'm just following what feels right and true for this next emerging season for our family. And small, intimate, practical feels like the most delicious next move for us. From a work perspective, the last couple of months has been really interesting for me. I've been working alongside a coach to really kind of help me hone in on what I want to do with regards to work, what I want my creative expression to be, and what I actually want to spend my days doing from a work perspective. What that's meant for me is that I've really simplified the way that I work with clients. So, at the moment, I have relaunched my home study productivity program. You may have seen it if you follow me on Instagram or if you're on my newsletter list. It's called Peacefully Productive, and it's a on-demand, instant access productivity framework for people who want to get more done and also reclaim some of their time and some of their joy in their life. So really it is the basis of the work that I teach all of my personal one-on-one clients. It's also the framework that I use myself and have done for probably a decade now. And it's material that I go back to time and time again. So it's felt really good to kind of revisit that content for me and for my clients and to make it something that is instantly available for people who need that work right now. They don't need to go through it over a 3-month private coaching container. They just need the tools right now. So it's felt really generous and really expansive for me to offer that as an instant, on-demand, full access home study program. So if you're interested in having a look at what the program looks like to see if it might be a good fit for you just now, you can just head on over to the website. It's varimekickney.com and you can click on program there, or you can head to varimekickney.com/peacefullyproductive. All the information is in there. So I have my program available and I also have my private one-on-one clients. I'm really limiting the number of one-on-one clients I take on because really for me, going narrow and deep with a handful of clients feels more aligned for me rather than going wide and shallow. So for me, the idea of having a handful of really, really great clients that I can really help with different aspects of their life when it comes to cultivating more ease, cultivating more spaciousness and joy, and feeling like they're making a contribution both within the work that they do and also in their relationships and family. So that's felt like a really intentional simplification there. What that has allowed for me to do is to look at other creative projects that I actually want to be a part of. So back at the start of the year, I started working at a local co-working space, and it has been so energizing to be around other people again. Having worked from home for over a decade before COVID hit and we were all asked to work from home, I hadn't realized just how much I craved that community element. Of course, we have community, you know, within our social media networks. Some people will say it's not genuine community, but I beg to differ. There are many, many friendships that I've made through the online space that are so dear to my heart. But I really did miss that in-person connection and actually having somewhere to go to work. I didn't realize how much I missed that. And so getting out of the lockdown time and actually being able to go to an office and be surrounded by other people who are either employees within organizations and choosing to do their work from home days at a co-working space, or other people who have their own businesses, who are doing their own thing, or who are working freelance. It's been really beautiful to just make those in-person connections. So simplifying how I'm working with my coaching clients has allowed me to really dive into some more creative projects that have come about through working at this co-working space. So I'm really excited about, yeah, some in-person fun projects that are bubbling away under the surface and that I'll tell you more about in time. But it really has felt like more of a creative expression of who I am and the work that I can do and the work that I actually want to do. Another project that I was working on that I guess crosses that line between work and personal was the book that I had started writing probably late last year. I seriously started, you know, giving it some real love and care and attention. And since then, I have written 3 full outlines and summaries for 3 very different books, none of which will ever see the light of day. I know that this is often a place that a lot of people who have that desire, who have that goal and that dream of writing a book, I know this is often where they give up and feel like there is not a book in them. But my problem was I feel like there's probably multiple books in me, but I was trying to cram them all into one very disjointed book. So those 3 drafts and those 3 outlines and chapter summaries were absolutely necessary to get me to the point that I'm at now. When it comes to writing a book, I've been really curious and observant of the books that I'm drawn to, particularly the nonfiction books, and the style of the writing and the format of the information that the books take. And what I found myself drawn to is that when books base themselves around a particular question or a particular theme or idea, those are the ones that are most engaging to me. So yes, I could write a memoir about my life and it would be this you know, very different, very textured, very colorful story. But I don't know if that's actually helpful to the people who read it. Not that we write books to be helpful. I think the most helpful books are the ones that are written from people who just feel this urge to share their story. And I do agree with that. But I felt that I lacked the clarity of what the central theme or the central question that I was hoping to find some sort of answers around was missing with these previous ideas that I'd had for books. So that's something that's become more and more clear that I am starting to work towards now. What I will say about this is that it comes to this central theme of ease and what it is to cultivate more ease in our life. When I look back on my life and all the different chapters of my life, ease really is this central theme, that once I was able to embody ease or to get in sync with the rhythm of ease, that's when life flowed so much more easily. And it's something that I'm really curious about and I want to learn more about. I want to learn more about the science behind ease, why we find it so difficult to cultivate it, why we see it as being quite a light and fluffy and superficial emotion, when I actually think it's one of the most powerful emotions that we can intentionally cultivate and that we can choose to embody. When we allow ourselves to make choices from that place of ease, then we welcome more joy, more freedom, and more peace into our life. So I want to learn more about that, and I want to share more about that foundation of ease. How do we do that on a really practical day-to-day basis? And what are the actions that we take from that feeling of ease? So that's something that's going to permeate lots of different areas of my work. So it's the work that I'm going to be doing more closely with my private coaching clients. And I'm going to be speaking more on this concept of ease and how we cultivate it and what it means for us on the podcast and also over on Instagram. So that's really what I'm feeling drawn to at the moment, of how we can be productive, how we can make a contribution in the world, but through that lens of ease. One of the key components of ease for me that I've found over the years is playfulness, is allowing ourselves to be more playful. As adults, we do not give enough importance or attention to the cultivating of more playfulness in our days. This was something that I caught myself from time to time being a bit too serious about play. Me being me, I would anchor in on this idea of play, and I would want to pick it apart, to dissect it, to, you know, come up with a framework or a process and do play. Turns out that's not how play works. So what I did decide to do was just to say yes to things that felt a little bit exciting and a little bit outside of my comfort zone. One of these things was to return to playing the sport that I love the most, which is volleyball. So a few months ago, I found a local volleyball team here where I live, and I went along to a training session. Now, for those of you who don't know, I have mentioned this in previous episodes, but I used to play volleyball when I was younger, as a teenager. I played in New York. I went out there as an exchange student to play. I also played in Scotland. I played for the Scotland squad for under 18s. So it was such a big part of my life. Sport was a very big part. I also played netball. Overachiever. I played netball for Scotland at the same time as I played volleyball for Scotland. So there were some very busy weekends for my parents, taking me from one training session and training camp to another, I have to say. Thank you, Mum and Dad. But it really was a love of mine. And since I moved to Australia 15 years ago, I played socially. And for a couple of years when I arrived here at first, through a friend's social team that was part of a social league in the city. But since moving then to the beach, I had never been able to find a team. And I told myself that I just didn't have enough time. My kids were young. I couldn't commit to training. I couldn't commit to playing games at the weekend. And because I believed those things, I made them true. I didn't have enough time for it. But I didn't have enough time because I didn't give it enough importance in my life. It wasn't a priority, and that was okay. But it was starting to feel like I wanted to make it more of a priority now. So long story short, I went along to the training and loved it. It has been so wonderful to do something that feels so familiar, but yet feels so fresh and new at the same time. I remember the night before I went to my first training session, and I was frantically Googling the different rotations, the different rules of volleyball, because I believed that I had forgotten them after playing hundreds, probably thousands of hours of the sport over my childhood years. But it was really interesting to just observe that excited, nervous energy that I had. It really asked me to step out of my comfort zone, and I had no idea who was going to be at the training. I'd never even been to this particular sports center before. Everything felt completely new. As it turns out, I was the oldest in the team by over a decade. I remember speaking to one of the girls, and she asked me what I did for work, and I told her that I was a life coach. And I asked her what she did for work, and she said she works in McDonald's because she's in year 12. And I absolutely love that. I loved coming home and telling my boys the story of that as well. As it turns out, there is another woman in the team who is approximately the same age as me, but everyone else is a good 15 years younger than us. And it's been so lovely to be around different people in a completely different environment. That's what play feels like. This last weekend, we had a tournament all weekend. And when I went to bed last night after the weekend, I felt this delicious exhaustion in my body. My brain had been used in ways that it had not been used literally for decades. And I think that's what is so unique about play in that sense when it comes to games, is that we use our brain very differently. We're asked to be much more responsive and reactionary to what's happening right in front of us. We're asked to be super present, more so than we are in lots of other activities that we fill our days with. Yes, we can go to the gym, we can take a class, we can go for a run. We can see them as elements of play and having a game aspect to them. But there's nothing quite like being on a volleyball court and the ball being served at an alarming speed towards you, and you have to make decisions split second by split second. The emotional highs and lows over the course of a set, over the course of a match, over the course of a weekend tournament was something that I hadn't experienced for a really long time, and it felt so refreshing. I felt so awake and alive. So bringing that element of play has been such a beautiful thing in my life recently, and I see the lightness that it's brought to some of my coaching sessions, the lightness that it's brought to my relationship with my boys, with friendships as well. I never regarded myself as being someone who was super serious before, but intentionally building in more play and allowing it to feel like ease, to feel easy, and to feel like there wasn't any need for a particular end result, that there was no potential for failure, that it was something I was just playing at, has had the most profound effect on so many areas of my life. So that's something that I'm bringing into the last part of this year and is going to make up a huge part of how I make decisions going forward next year, both within my work and also within my personal life and my relationships, of cultivating more ease and being more playful. So that's what's been happening for me over these last few months. If you've got any questions at all about anything that I've mentioned in this episode, feel free to head on over to Instagram. That's where I hang out most with regards to social media. My handle is @FattyMcKickney. Feel free to drop me a comment or leave me a DM. And I'll be sure and share all of my adventures with moving house, how that all unfolds, and what this next couple of months as we move towards the end of 2022 looks like. Again, if you want to check out the productivity program, just head on over to the website. It's vadimkickney.com/peacefullyproductive. As I said, you can get instant access there to all 8 sessions and all of the worksheets. So if you are like me and you like to binge that kind of content, you can dive in and go through all 8 sessions. It really is a beautiful way for you to see what the priorities are in your life for this next emerging season, and really helps you to hold hone in on what's important to you, what you want to create and cultivate, and how you want to feel in your life. With regards to one-on-one coaching, I do have a few shorter 4-week containers available for the end of this year. So if that's something that you're interested in, again, feel free to drop me a DM or drop me an email. My email is fatty@fattymckechnie.com, and we can have a chat about what that might look like for you going forward. If there's anything else that you would want me to chat about on the podcast, then I'm always open to suggestions. So again, let me know over on Instagram if there's a particular topic or question that you'd like me to dive into. As I said, we're going to be looking at more about how we cultivate more ease. You know, Brené Brown has shame as her thing. Susan Cain has quiet as her thing. There's the guy, I can't quite remember his surname because it's a very long one. He has resilience. He wrote the book, The Resilience Project. Each of these amazing people have this one thing that they choose to research, to study, to dive deeply into, and then create ways of showing up in their life to cultivate more of that emotion. And that's really what I want to do with this concept of ease, how we can claim more ease in our life so we can have more joy, have more freedom, and have more of a contribution in the world in a really peaceful and beautiful way. Thanks as always for listening, guys. If you enjoyed this episode, I would super appreciate if you could screenshot it and share it over on Instagram. Also, if you could leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts, that would be really helpful. It really does help other people find the podcast too. As always, thank you for listening. Do the small things, and I'll speak to you soon.